Welcome to Talking Up Music Education, a podcast from the NAMM Foundation. The NAMM Foundation is working to assure that all children have the opportunity to learn and grow with music, and that music is part of daily living for everyone. Talking Up Music Education podcast shares news and stories about music education from teachers, students, parents, school, and community leaders who care about music education and are working to create more opportunities for music learning. And now, here's your host, Mary Lurson.
Hi, this is Mary Lurson, Executive Director of the NAMM Fund, and welcome to this episode of Talking Up Music Education, live here from Summer NAMM in Nashville, Tennessee, and our wonderful collaboration with InterTalk Radio, available on Talking Up Music Education, and we'll keep you posted when that's available as part of our podcast. I'm here with two terrific NAMM members to talk about a wonderful new initiative, so I'll let you introduce yourselves. Would you mind just giving us a little bit of your name, what you do, a little bit of background in the music industry, in music?
Well, thank you, Mary. You sound like someone that should be on NPR.
Oh, right? Well, but we could do that voice. Wonderful thing that Saturday Night Live pretend that's what we should do. We'll wait for that.
All right, next time.
We'll be serious to start with.
Okay, well, good morning.
With it. Yes.
Good morning, everyone. My name's Robin Walenta. I'm the President and CEO of West Music Company, based in Coralville, Iowa. And I'm currently serving as the NAMM chair. So I'm really honored to be here today speaking with one of my favorite people, Mary Lurson, who's been a mentor and a role model for me in my 35 years in this wonderful industry.
Oh, thank you, Robin.
Awesome. And I'm Dee Dee Hyde. I hail from Appleton, Wisconsin, where I'm the executive vice president and co-owner of our family business called Hyde Music, where we're celebrating 70 years this year. And I've been officially in the music products industry for 7 years, but long-term of coming to NAMM for almost 20 years and participating in educational programming.
And you know, to give a little context to the meaning of the music industry in the lives of culture and music, I went to Lawrence University, which is just down the street from Hyde Music in Appleton, and for all those years went to Hyde and purchased those wonderful French editions of flute music, and then it took a long journey away from Appleton and the Midwest and all of these things, and then really 17 years ago, I went and became a staff member for NAMM. My first NAMM show was in Nashville. My first board meeting was in Nashville. And I walked into the board meeting, and there was your father-in-law, Paul Hyde, who was either vice chair or chairman of NAMM. And it just hit me like a ton of bricks that I had come full circle, and I knew exactly where I was.
Wow.
But the connection to all those years to the music industry was, again, very consumer-oriented, buying instruments, just as it was. But again, and your grandpa, Paul Hyde's father, mm-hmm. was a very important part of my life when I was a music teacher in Neenah, Wisconsin. Oh. And I went in six elementary schools, I took the band program from 50 kids, so like 300 kids. And all of a sudden, Hyde Music goes, who is that woman down there? who is she? And it was wonderful to be embraced by your Paul's father, right?
Peter.
And it was just wonderful. So the whole reflection of this, but I had to share that story.
Well, thank you for doing that.
Yeah.
Your name was actually coming up several weeks ago as we were bracing for our first Make Music Day that we did with a bunch of folks from Lawrence University, the Pirtles, and they were saying, when are we going to get Mary back?
Yeah.
So we have to.
And now the NAMM Foundation is the global title sponsor of Make Music Day. Mm-hmm. So you keep thinking about, and guess what? They had a Make Music Day in my hometown of Reedsburg.
Really?
Yeah.
That's phenomenal.
Mostly around the accordion, which was really...
It's music.
Anyway, we're going back here.
All right.
Thank you. Thank you for that brief moment. But I had to just, again, rethread the connection to Hyde Music and the music industry and what it means for all of us to be here as part of NAMM. I mean, it's just a remarkable thing.
It is a community and all integral parts of it.
So let's get your two-thirds of the triumvirate that's established this Swim Fund, Crystal Morris, CEO Gator Guitar is not here, but she's going to be with it, chatting later. I think it's tomorrow. We're having a chat with her about the event that's happening tonight. But tell us about the SWIM Fund. First of all, what does it stand for, SWIM? And the swim meet and the swim team.
Sure.
Everything
swim. We can go on and on and on about all the metaphors that we've built around the acronym SWIM. But it's an acronym for Smart Women in Music. And it all came to play many years ago. There were a bunch of us smart women in the music industry sitting around the pool in Arizona at the National Association of School Music Dealers meeting. And we were talking about how do we go about finding more people like us? How can we create more opportunities for women in this industry that we all are so passionate about? And of course, we're sitting around the pool and we all love acronyms. And so we came up with this Smart Women in Music. And it kind of went dormant for a while as we all went about our very busy lives. And then when I became the NAMM chair last year, I was being challenged as to what's going to be your legacy? What do you want to be remembered for? And I took myself back to that moment and thinking about how we need more diversity and inclusion in our industry, especially as it relates to women. And what can we do as an industry to help grow and advance the careers of women and make it a place for women to come and grow and contribute and be effective mm-hmm. leaders? And so that's what it stands for. That's kind of its roots are how it all started. And, you know, again, we're very fortunate to work so closely with the NAMM Foundation in establishing the fund in which got launched at NASMD this year.
Just a few months ago.
Yeah.
Was that actually April or March? April.
It was April. And Didi really led the charge in.
Yeah, tell us about that, Didi. I was there, and it was such a remarkable conversation. So tell us about the launch of it.
Well, you know, I mean, we're very fortunate that really there's the focus on the fund. So there's sustainability on how do we develop more opportunities for women, both that are already in our industry, but also to come into our industry and know that there wants to be collaboration and inclusion. Then I think there's the part of the NASMD forum that started with the panel and continued again last night with the swim meet here and will continue in that we need to continue conversations and not just having conversations, but then action and how we come together. So at NASMD, we put together a panel of women, all with varying backgrounds and places they are in the country, and prepared various questions for them to really speak very honestly and openly so that together we could have those conversations and with the goal to help to empower and inspire other women in the room to know that there is a place for them and that no one's alone and that the more we work together on things, what we can accomplish. And what I also love about that, Mary, both at NASMD as well as last night, is there was also a few brave men who understand to come in and be a part of that room.
Including our CEO.
Yes.
That's right. Right.
And really how they'll support and truly know that the more diverse and inclusive we are, all of the ships will rise. So
at that launch at NAS, first of all, we're so grateful that the SWIM Fund and the NAMM Foundation, it could be a program of the NAMM Foundation. Yeah. It just felt natural. You know, it's now a restricted fund that actually can run programs. It can pay for fees and services and scholarships. I mean, it's a wonderful vehicle that we wanted the NAMM Foundation to be able to do. But your remarks at that launch, Didi, which just meant so much to me, because part of what we all see for NAMM in the future, yes, more opportunities for women, but more opportunities for people of all backgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Absolutely.
I mean, that's why through our Gen Next program, we reach out to the historical Black college and universities. We're, you know, the Latino organization. So the professional that we are reflective of what our country looks like. So, but it was such a powerful thing that you said that day about inclusion and diversity. So it's really great. Thank you for that. So also about the honest conversation, you know, that the place to have an honest conversation. There must be somewhere, maybe, that in your own reflection, your own, you know, was there events in your own personal life that led you to maybe lead this forward in terms of what you're really hoping for, that this would be challenges and opportunities that maybe you wished you'd had or could have, that you want to create for others? Any thoughts about that or?
Well, you know, I am very, very fortunate that I had a mentor in Steve West, You know, and he saw in me a desire to contribute to West music that would let it give me the opportunity to grow and strengthen our company. And we each recognized our strengths and weaknesses and then complemented each other through that process. You know, actually, this is my 60th NAMM show. I just thought about that.
My goodness.
Yeah. You know, when you talk, when
right,
you
we
add,
have 2 a year, though.
Yeah, that's right. When you add summer and winter.
Let's be clear, folks. It's 2 a year, right?
And I remember coming to my very first one in California and walking out on the showroom floor and saying to myself, wow, do I belong here? You know, there were very few women on the showroom floor, and those that were there were dressed or not dressed.
In the old days of trade shows.
That's right.
Right.
In a way to sell musical instruments. And again, I remember thinking to myself, is this a place for me? And it was that moment that I said, absolutely. You know, this is my opportunity to show that women do have a place in this industry. And through our creative minds and our passion and commitment, we can contribute to this industry in a more mm-hmm. powerful way. Mm-hmm. And so I took that challenge on at that moment. And you know, I'm fortunate that 35 years later, I'm the president and CEO of West Music, and being the chair of NAMM is giving me this platform to help, you know, change the minds of mm-hmm. of others.
But you had that moment.
I did.
You had. Yeah. I mean, it's. I think it's important and honest.
Yeah.
And honest that there was a moment. I said, "Whoa, is this a place that I can?" And that as a leader, as you know, kind of born with that predisposition, you said, yeah, I'm going to dive in here. And you had some mentors along.
Exactly.
The way.
And I think
right
I'm a poster
place.
Child for people that aren't in a family business or aren't entrepreneurs doing startups. You know, I was given an opportunity in a business to help strengthen and grow it. And through my efforts was then rewarded with ownership and those types of things. But, you know, I think whether, you know, it's a succession within a family business or you're doing a startup of your own business, or you're as fortunate as I am that you can contribute to a well-established business, there are so many opportunities for women within the industry. And we just, that's what the swim team's all about, right? Is to show them there's different entry points and how you can get in and make a difference.
How about you, Dee Dee? Was there an itch you needed to scratch with the establishment of this fund?
There is. Todd and I also have 3 children. We have a son at 6 and 2 girls that are 11 and 14. And there was a comment that was made to one of them about how they hoped that they would marry well. Someone said, an extension of our family, told them to marry well. And those things strike me that as a mother and as a swim member, right, a smart woman in business and somebody who tries very hard to work for the things that I do in my community and through my professional and personal development, that I didn't want my daughters to ever think that they would be defined by who they married. I want them to be fulfilled and happy in life, but for what they want to professionally accomplish, they need to know that they can do that. They can chart their course and that I will give them every support mechanism that I can to make that happen as my husband. So to me, it's making sure that there are the seats at the table, that they feel that their voice matters, that they can make waves and make action. And how can I not just do that for them, but for those that I also do business with? And if I truly believe in this industry and the power of what it does, we need diversity and inclusion. Mm-hmm. Or where will it go?
Mm-hmm. That's so powerful, Dee Dee, because, you know, when it's about our children, we become, you know, we become different. The conviction is really deep. I have a 25-year-old daughter, and I see the progress, some progress, since when I was at that age. And you see 30 years ago, right? Yeah. I mean, you see and the work that we did, I have to say, the work that we did, just going in and banging and being at the table, kind of pushing. But I see my daughter at 25 with limitations that I felt that she doesn't even feel.
Wow.
And it's on the feeling level, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that what you're saying too, you don't want your daughters especially to feel those limitations. Right?
Absolutely.
That they
everything.
Can create. It's like the next wave. Hey, swim. Here we are. How many? That came out really.
Yeah,
it came too naturally, I think. Okay. So thank you for sharing that. So do you think opportunities for women have changed? Is it different than 20 years ago? And are we creating the next version of that change? I just talked about my daughter a little bit. You know, I think I haven't been concrete about what has changed, but I think there has been a change.
There has, but yeah. I mean, I think that now we need to dial it up, right? It needs to get amplified. It's happening, but it's happened at a very slow rate. Right?
We got to go to 11.
We got to amp it up. And, you know, I think that last night at the swim meet, as Robin was being introduced and she called out to Joe and she said, as being the first chair of an organization that is 118 years old, how has it taken us this long to get to the point of having a woman in this role? And then if we also think about the other aspects of diversity inclusion, and when we have a person of color that's sitting at that table. So I think it's there, Mary, it's been happening, yeah. But I think we have to put the pedal down a little harder.
You know, I keep saying, because it's been a theme of my career about diversity and inclusion and everything, but it's like we have to be deliberate about it.
Yes.
It's like, no, not. It's not about quotas. It's not about check boxes of, you know, things. But it's, are our actions deliberate? And I think with the swim fund, we've crossed over into a place where we're saying we are now deliberate.
Yeah.
Right?
And it's beyond creating awareness. It's about creating.
We're acting deliberately
about something.
So tell us about, let's first talk about its great success in getting established. We set a goal. Remember, we worked together and said, you know, we had some policies within the NAF Foundation to have sort of a set-aside fund that was going to do some of its own action. We had a kind of a little $25,000 threshold. And everybody got there, you know.
We're going to hit that in a hurry.
I know. But, you know, on the realistic side, well, that's going to, you know, kidding, that's going to require a little bit of asking, a little bit of work, and a little bit of focusing. So guess what happened? So tell us.
So originally, I was unable to attend the panel at NASMD.
So you were in Germany on NAM.
In Germany at Music Messe representing NAM. But I wanted to be there. I wanted to be present. I wanted to have an ability to contribute. So I created a video that's gone viral from what I understand. And for those of you who have seen it, if you see me swimming through the scarves, you'll recognize we did that intentionally because I really can't swim a stroke. So we had to keep a safe environment for me. But through that video, I put forth a challenge to challenge every person to donate $25 on behalf of every woman within their organization. And I remember Dee Dee and Crystal and I were talking about it because I wanted to go out, you know, $100. Let's make it $100. And I'll started off, and you know, my enthusiastic nature was dialed down by let's start small, let's make it attainable for everyone to contribute. So that's where the $25 contribution came from. I seeded the fund. We have 100 women at West Music, which is 51% of our workforce. So we started the fund with the $2,500. The video was shown at NASMD.
It was awesome. It was a great kickoff to it. And then we continued to ask people to either meet the pledge request or go at the levels that they felt most comfortable. So also it's been great because it's not just companies partaking in donating, but individuals that are also a part of companies that are donating so that women and men can have their voices shown that they believe and want to support it. And it's been phenomenal, the levels of support, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We hit our $25,000 goal very quickly.
Yeah, and before 2 days ago, you were at about 27, and then quickly you went to...
Well, we were surprised yesterday when a card arrived to Mary from the CF Martin Company, and specifically Diane Martin. And I think Claire had something to do with it as well, because, mm-hmm. you know, Diane's very committed and passionate about making sure women have a voice, mm-hmm. not only in the music industry, but in the world. So we received a check for $10,100.
For the 404 brilliant women that work at Martin Guitar.
That's correct. That's amazing.
Which is a remarkable endorsement. And then you had an event last night, and we haven't checked the web since, but I think there's been more activity. We're going to have to get together, ladies, and work on the swim program.
That's the next step, isn't it?
Right, right.
Yeah. You know, we always thought raising money would be the hard part, but actually it was relatively easy, and we're not done. I mean...
Oh, yeah, and this has to be ongoing.
This has got to be sustainable.
We want to create an ongoing program that has progression and takes a class of women that come for training. Before we get to some of the ideas of the fund, I want to just take a look, because the wisdom that you both share, You know, I think that women have been in the workforce. If you ever have a rainy Saturday and you look at the old movie channels, if you really want to have a moment of reflection, you look at a black and white movie from the 20s and the 30s when women were first entering the workforce, and you watch the dialogue and you watch and you realize, you know, we have come a certain distance, you know, because it's as in terms of the archetypes as they were portrayed in the society.
And it feels like we have a little tailwind right now. I mean, it is kind of a perfect storm with the Me Too movement and those types of things bringing awareness to women in business.
And I think that we recognize that women do bring, quote unquote, we could say it, they bring a different set of assets to the table in business. They bring a lot of the same analytical skills and business training and MBAs. And so, but I think there's sort of an intangible that women bring to the business table. Would you venture forward and say what some of those assets are that might in the SWIM program we would be reinforcing or supporting along the way?
Sure. I've been doing some research on what does a diverse workforce mean to an organization, right? Because I think for some people, too, to understand the ROI that comes with it. And it was interesting that there was a statistic that I found in doing some of the research that's called the bottom line of corporate performance. And it talked about that with Forbes, Fortune 500 companies that had the highest representation of women on their board of directors performed better financially than those with the lowest representation, and at levels of 50 and 60% higher.
Ooh.
So quite an amazing impact, right? And so I think, obviously, our voice is about women, but I think as we also talk about all of the diversity and inclusion that means, the other benefits of thinking about how are not just problems, but solutions come about by having a diverse table and representation and the difference from the perceptions to the experiences that would happen. Research shows that your customers are better served by having a diverse workforce, right? Because people want to see and know of other people that would have had experiences of like-mindedness. You're going to continue to be able to expand a more diverse talent pool as well, right? Because nobody wants to feel like 30 years ago to walk into the room and say, do I belong here? But people want to feel, I think, especially in the music business, it's a very much family-focused centric, the feeling and the vibe that everybody really cares for each other. So I think being more deliberate on how we make sure at our businesses individually, but then collectively, we come together to have those. So I think through literally the financial investments, we can all see a better return on investment, to the conversations that can happen, and the new opportunities that we can create through that, right? Through the conversations and respect and listening.
And the collaboration, you know, really approaching it in a way that, you know, all voices need to be heard. And that as we approach challenges, we pause and rethink and retrain, as opposed to either back out or lean in. It's about, you know, working together with a collective voice to make the process
forward. It's so interesting the way you know, we work with our nonprofit, all our grantees and all the nonprofit music service organizations, and we work with them around issues of governance and effectiveness and evaluation. And it's boiled down to sometimes we just have to say, modern organizations do, Phil, they have diversity at the table. Mm-hmm. Modern organizations are inclusive of many ideas. And personally, going to the personal, I had a meeting some time ago. It was somewhat related to NAMM, but not entirely. Not, it wasn't a NAMM business meeting. But I was the only woman at the table. And the discussion got pretty heated around a topic that I was responsible for providing. And I had to just kind of back away and said, just let this settle down. But I knew if there was another woman at the table, the level of that conversation would have never happened. There would have been a kind of a timeout moment of saying, I'm talking about these intangible assets, that why are these companies more successful? Mm-hmm. Why are they earning greater? Maybe they're perceived as being a modern company or they work in a modern way, but there's something happening internally about a process that is, you know, that I've experienced myself. In other words, it would have had been a different conversation.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
With another woman at the same table kind of saying, no, wait a minute, I think she has a point.
Yes.
Even that moment of saying, wait a minute, we have to stop and really look at the data that's being shared here.
Yeah. So. And that's the whole point of the Swim Fund movement, right?
Right.
Is to create that positive change and those leadership opportunities for women in our industry.
Mm-hmm. All right, so let's get what we hope the Swim Fund to do. Now that, you know, the excitement's been generated, we've got a little bit of the funds in the bank. bank, but now we have to have a, probably sit down and help with a little bit of a business plan, year one, year two, year three, right? But what's the hope? What's the plan and the hope for the program?
Well, right now we have three specific initiatives designed that we need to orchestrate a program around. And the first is creating scholarship opportunities for women to attend the summer and the winter show so that they can come here and attend Idea Center sessions, attend networking events like the Swim Meet or NAMYP or any of those interactive networking opportunities that exist here. I mean, personally, I contribute a great deal of my success to being at the NAM shows and participating in not only the educational sessions, but the peer-to-peer networking and the friendships I've made.
So this could be junior staff members in a NAM company, for instance, that otherwise would not be included in the team that's going to the NAM show because they're not trade show or sales focused, but maybe that they could get support for from their employer with a little bit of help from the swim fund to tip them into that.
To get them involved, to get them here and get them involved. And I again, to, just this morning, I've been overwhelmed with people approaching me on the floor with, thank you so much for last night. I met so many new people that, you know, I don't feel alone anymore.
Right.
I mean, that's goosebump stuff. That's, that's why we're here.
Yeah.
It is.
So now one thing it does, what else will it do too?
We're also working on our mentorship opportunities, both for thinking of women coming into the music products industry, right? So through college, but also those that are already in and not maybe getting as much exposure or want to be able to have more opportunity of learning. So mentorship with women in both from the retail segment, but also on the product segment. So to truly be able to have those interactive learnings and conversations on that one-on-one
kind of shadowing leaders in the industry.
And there's, again, it's amazing how many women in leadership positions are stepping forward and saying, count me in. I want to be part of it. I want to share my experiences and my knowledge so others can benefit from it.
And the third pillar of the program?
Oh, it's pretty exciting, right?
This is the big one.
It really is. So looking forward, right, to October 2019, when we'll be able to have the first summit, the first opportunity of a symposium for women in leadership to be able to come together at the NAM headquarters and have 2 days of thought-provoking learnings and development and opportunity and continue to work on graduating classes through that.
I'm very intrigued and inspired by that idea, too. I'm kind of collecting people outside of the music industry, right?
We've been doing the same thing. We keep shooting each other emails.
Other thought leaders, right? And other companies who have embraced this deliberately. You know, how do we transfer into deliberate action steps as you all have done with this great program? That's really great. The last question, or kind of combined last question, is how can people get involved? How can you get, you know, we have a tiny little place at the NAM Foundation for donations, a little bit of a descriptor. I think as we grow, we'll develop the place where people can get more information and maybe link to even resources or past webinars or, right? I mean,
the obvious one is to, you know, to continue to contribute financially so that the fund can be sustainable for many years to come. So that's an obvious one. But the other one is we got to keep the conversation going. You know, it's got to be top of mind and we got to continue to educate people on what it's, why we have it and what it's for. I mean, again, just last night at the swim meet, several guys said, well, this is for women only, right? I said, well, absolutely not. This is all y'all. And the gentleman that attended came up to me afterwards and again, we're like, I'm so glad I attended this because now I see how I can help women in my company, you know, advance their careers or others where I have a daughter that's a sophomore in college and I don't want anything to be an obstacle for her as she tries to advance her careers. And you really opened my mind to that. So keeping the conversation going as we get the formal programs put together so that people can learn how to participate at a higher level, I think is really important.
Yes. And I would say, I would add on that I think with the conversations, you know, we're talking a lot about how do men look at women and understand what would have of action and conversation. But I think it's also very important at how women have conversations with other women and how do we make sure we're building each other up up in making sure that we're mentoring and taking care of one another. And I think that that's also something that probably has changed more in the last decade, right, is how women come together to make sure there's seats at the table, multiple, right, versus feeling competitive against one another. I think that where can we build healthy relationships in the conversations? And I think be very deliberate and mindful of all of our word choices and the impact of what those mean. Mm-hmm. So I think continuing those conversations on there.
Well, I'll make a promise to, in terms of the NAM Foundation, we want to embed, and I already talked about it this morning, in this part of the SWIM Fund into our Gen Next program. So as for every, those 2,500 college music students, probably half are women, that as every NAM show that they're at, we have a combined event or some type of panel with them. So they feel,
Mary, that's terrific.
That's number one. That's deliberate. And that's, you know, that's something that is not easily, none of this is, it's relatively easily done. You know, we'll just embed it into that program. And then for every time we do podcasts at both of the shows, we need to have a Swim Fund episode. All right. So that gives a way of communicating to the public about what's up with the Swim Fund, what's next for the Swim Fund, the attitudes, conversations. Let's have some men that are donors to the Swim Fund. Let's have just, we'll be a part of that conversation to keep it alive in between the Swim Funds, even, you know, as again, we build the program and just support it as best we can.
Yeah. We've created a new community. But it's obviously a community that already existed, but we've given it a platform.
But connecting to our college students is really,
that's terrific.
It's a big wave. Oh, what did I?
Oh, there it is.
I did it again. Any final thoughts you'd like to share with us or
I want to thank you for your leadership and the NAM Foundation for making this a reality. It's really important to us and very meaningful. So I want to personally thank you.
Oh, my pleasure. I mean, it's like...
And Didi, me too.
Yeah. Didi, final thoughts?
I would just say none of it could happen without collaboration. So I think echoing on what Robin said, so Mary, thank you for championing and holding us accountable and being deliberate. I love that word. I've got to put that more into
my
daily practice. So it really, I think that people feeling that they have a place. Mm-hmm. So I think more people to say, how do they want to partake
this
and what
is,
can they do?
This is a tremendous next step forward for NAM. It only took us to a century, right? To our second century. But, you know, it's an idea that's time has come. An idea that is, and I didn't make that phrase up. That was created by Carl Brune, probably someone else before Carl too. But this is a wonderful next step for NAM. And I think we feel that energy. Right, financially, you feel it in the room, and I think it's we'll be on paddleboard soon.
There you go.
Right,
as we got to be careful, Robin. We have to have floating.
We'll take care of that. So yeah, we'll take care.
Personal
of that.
Flotation devices.
Not a problem.
But Mary, isn't it cool that we really get to be a part of Robin's legacy too?
Yes,
I feel a huge sense of pride in being able to everything that she's done for myself and Todd personally and professionally to be able to be a part of this and know that her shattering the ceiling of becoming the first chair of NAM will now never be forgotten.
Right.
And that we will continue to have that great stewardship. So we're pretty lucky to have this cool cat with us.
Well, since we're doing a little mutual admiration society
kumbaya moment.
I do take some credit for getting Didi involved in the industry. She's married to Todd. However, I remember when I first met her, we were at a meeting of peers and we were just talking strategically, as we do many times about business opportunities. I said, why aren't you working at Hyde Music? And here she is.
Yeah, yeah.
And contributing in a mega force way.
Yeah. And that's those subtle, significant nudges that women can and must do for one another.
Yes.
Right? Along the way. Speaking of nudges, we could talk all day to these beautiful women that are sitting here with me, but it's time for us to move on and send you back to Summer NAM and all the other
some stuff done, right?
Things you have to
stuff.
Do.
Let's do it.
Right?
Let's dive in.
More money.
Right. All the
fun.
Right. All the great things that they're doing. And we thank you all for joining us for this episode, this swimmingly wonderful episode of the NAM Foundation Talking of Music Education. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next time.
Talk Talking Up Music Education is a podcast created by the NAMM Foundation. To learn more about how you can support music education in your community or how you can be part of the work of the NAMM Foundation, visit our website, www.namfoundation.org, or join us on Facebook at facebook.com/NAMM Foundation. You can also follow Mary on Twitter at Mary L. NAMM. That's Mary L. N-A-M-M.